You'll hear an architectural photographer called Jack Gollins talking about his work immediately after receiving a professional award. For questions 7 to 14, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part 2.
My name, as you've probably gathered, is Jack Gollins, and I'd like to express my thanks for this wonderful award. Frankly, I'm a bit of a workaholic, busy trying to satisfy my architect clients and come up with a photograph that will put them on the map, as well as trying to satisfy my own artistic ambitions. So, to be honest, it was only when I was talking to some magazine editors recently who were consulted over my nomination that I realised what I've actually achieved so far in my field. I was genuinely taken aback by the number of projects I've done. So, how do I actually go about shooting a building? Well, I have self-imposed rules, and some of them are quirky and particular to me. I tend to use a wide-angle lens rather than a fisheye lens that some photographers prefer. I show more context than many of my colleagues too, and my compositional rules break all the normal aesthetics. I'm often asked if there are particular places in Australia or overseas that have had a big impact on me. The short answer is yes. I spent quite a few years in countries like Cambodia photographing what are called lost cities. These were generally built by the leaders of the time, and I've been very influenced by the quality of the buildings there. There are practical issues working in such places. Maybe if the building's half in ruins, I'll work at night and only light the existing half, and leave the other half to the imagination. And in India, I've had to work with strong blue filters to separate the stone from the vivid sky. But I avoid fancy gimmicks out of a respect for historic buildings. They're intrinsically remarkable buildings which don't need any special effects. I use such trips as test beds for practicing particular photographic techniques. A lot of them, like lighting buildings at night, were first tried out on my own projects, and then brought to bear on clients' modern buildings. I guess I'm well known now for my elevated shots. You can get in so close in a helicopter. And a few years back, myself and the pilot I always use, he's awesome at the controls, worked out techniques for making the most of this. We can get amazing shots by performing rapid, repeated circles and be finished before local people and tourists start complaining. I've recently shot extraordinarily beautiful nighttime pictures this way, which couldn't have been done 10 years ago. Now, potentially, an iconic building can bring in lots of money for everyone associated with it, so the pressure's on from clients for me to produce award-winning photos. But I'm a very harsh critic of my own work and will keep going back to a project until I basically think I've achieved what's known as the hero image. The definitive shot of a building which brings in the money. And it can take a lot of visits to get it right, believe me. That's one of the reasons I'm so delighted to receive this award in recognition of my work. Thank you so much.
Now you'll hear part two again.
My name, as you've probably gathered, is Jack Gollins, and I'd like to express my thanks for this wonderful award. Frankly, I'm a bit of a workaholic, busy trying to satisfy my architect clients and come up with a photograph that will put them on the map, as well as trying to satisfy my own artistic ambitions. So, to be honest, it was only when I was talking to some magazine editors recently who were consulted over my nomination that I realised what I've actually achieved so far in my field. I was genuinely taken aback by the number of projects I've done. So, how do I actually go about shooting a building? Well, I have self-imposed rules, and some of them are quirky and particular to me. I tend to use a wide-angle lens rather than a fisheye lens that some photographers prefer. I show more context than many of my colleagues too, and my compositional rules break all the normal aesthetics. I'm often asked if there are particular places in Australia or overseas that have had a big impact on me. The short answer is yes. I spent quite a few years in countries like Cambodia photographing what are called lost cities. These were generally built by the leaders of the time, and I've been very influenced by the quality of the buildings there. There are practical issues working in such places. Maybe if the building's half in ruins, I'll work at night and only light the existing half, and leave the other half to the imagination. And in India, I've had to work with strong blue filters to separate the stone from the vivid sky. But I avoid fancy gimmicks out of a respect for historic buildings. They're intrinsically remarkable buildings which don't need any special effects. I use such trips as testbeds for practicing particular photographic techniques. A lot of them, like lighting buildings at night, were first tried out on my own projects and then brought to bear on clients' modern buildings. I guess I'm well known now for my elevated shots. You can get in so close in a helicopter. And a few years back, myself and the pilot I always use, he's awesome at the controls, worked out techniques for making the most of this. We can get amazing shots by performing rapid, repeated circles and be finished before local people and tourists start complaining. I've recently shot extraordinarily beautiful nighttime pictures this way, which couldn't have been done 10 years ago. Now, potentially, an iconic building can bring in lots of money for everyone associated with it, so the pressure's on from clients for me to produce award-winning photos. But I'm a very harsh critic of my own work and will keep going back to a project until I basically think I've achieved what's known as the hero image, the definitive shot of a building which brings in the money. And it can take a lot of visits to get it right, believe me. That's one of the reasons I'm so delighted to receive this award in recognition of my work. Thank you so much.
That's the end of part two. Now turn to part three.